Hey guys, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast like I'm doing here? I used to have a radio show on the internet and I absolutely loved it. The downside was I had to pay to be the host. I had to pay a lot of money. I loved my show and I still had lots more to say. I just didn't want to pay so much to have conversations with you. That's when I found Anchor. I am so excited because Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing my own podcast. Instead of me paying out a lot of money, I have the potential to get paid for using my voice and talking about what is important to me and hearing your stories. I love connecting with all of you, and Anchor has given my voice to you. So if you're ready to start your own podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Thanks for joining the Gay with God community. Welcome to Awakened Hearts. I am your host, Midge Noble. The Awakened Hearts podcast is a place where we choose compassion, loving kindness, and a heart-centered life. I believe that everyone is on earth to serve a sacred contract. I believe that we were all created to be compassionate, loving, and kind to ourselves and to all living souls. I believe that we can awaken our hearts and heal old wounds. I believe that we all have the power to transform our pain into our most authentic, spiritual, compassionate, and best selves. I believe we deserve to feel empowered to speak up and set boundaries and be valued by those we love and respected by those we meet along our path. Hey, Bodhi Seekers, and welcome back to Awakened Hearts. This is Midge Noble, your host for tonight. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Christmas and divorce. Yikes, right? So there are ways to make the holidays count for your children, even if you're all not living in the same household. But it's going to take a very elevated, awakened heart for you guys to pull this off. So if you are from a divorced family or, you know, you may or may not have the best relationship with the person that you had fallen in love with, but we want it to be the best possible scenario for your kids. So if you watch all those Hallmark movies or if you see any commercial whatsoever between Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, you know that holidays are filled with bells and carolers and cookie smells and movies that show us close-knit families and where Christmas dreams always come true, usually in the last 5 minutes of that Hallmark movie. My spouse and I talk about that all the time. It's like you go through the same scenario, and in the last 5 minutes, they get together and they live happily ever after. Voila. And we still watch them, even though we know the plot's the same and it's always going to end the right way. I think we're all just so connected to good endings, right? So we want to have a good ending for your kids. Why am I saying for your kids? And I'm not talking about you necessarily right now, is because when you fell in love, or when you chose to get together with this person who helped you parent these children, and you know, your kids may or may not have asked to be in this family. Now, as we learned about sacred contracts earlier in the shows, that they may have chosen you, maybe inadvertently, but they may have chosen you to get here. However, you chose to marry this person, or you chose to partner up with this person, or you chose to have children with this person, maybe, maybe not in some instances, but let's just take it generally. The children did not choose that necessarily. They did not choose to go through an ugly, hateful divorce, and they did not choose to have to go back and forth and uproot their whole lives, their schools, everything, because of this marriage not working out. So this is not the reality of most kids, you know, where they have Christmas with no hassle and everything's loving. There was actually a study done by I always mess up this guy's name, but it's Furstenberg, Peterson, Nord, and Zill. And half of all children who see their parents divorce, and the statistics for second marriages of those parents have been very low success rates. So the success rates of kids getting through a divorce without having any kind of emotional issues or hangups or problems is really low. So this is a really devastating statistic for our kids that, you know, they really can be traumatized by how the divorce is handled and how holidays and birthdays are handled. Everything that is a milestone for these kids is now a big deal. You know, who's going to be invited? Who's not going to be invited? How's that going to work out? And it's really hard for them to just have a simple birthday sometimes without a bunch of fighting and ugly emails and problems between the adults who are supposed to be showing them the way. So what we're looking for is that, you know, if there is an emotional welfare issue and their success is directly linked to the emotional stability of their parents, then their childhood experiences during and following the divorce are really in question at this point. So the emotional effects on kids are really staggering. There was a guy named Andrew Cherlin who determined that children living through repeated divorces had lower grades in school. Now, this is not an absolute, of course, because I do believe that we're all hot-wired to live our destiny. So we can go through traumatic, horrible experiences and still excel because we were intended to excel. And so other kids may be on a different path, or, you know, their path may be to struggle during this lifetime. Other effects include psychological problems, health-related issues such as headaches, asthma, and injuries. And so that is really important too. That survey was done by Dawson Family Structure and Children's Health and Well-Being. It's a national health interview that was done. And there was just this really similarity of kids, you know, physical issues and psychological issues after repeated divorces. So, you know, when we talk about trauma, you know, a one-time trauma can have a lasting effect, but repeated trauma can completely shell-shock a kid. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be just one time or many times. It depends on the child and how they're going to perceive it and make sense of it. But it's really a difficult thing for kids to go through. So when we're looking at things like big holidays, like Christmas, you know, how are the kids supposed to, you know, go through this unscathed? And one of those reasons that we could come up with would be, how are you going to present the holiday? You know, what are you going to do to ensure that your children can go through this holiday, you know, really being the happiest that they can possibly be? So, you know, there are lots of things that happen during the holidays. And one of the things that happens is that people become really, really territorial. This is what the custody, you know, letters, the order says. These are the hours you can have these kids, or my kids. And those words in and of itself can be really damaging if kids overhear that, because then you're having ownership and kids aren't to be owned. And so that's the language that you're using when you talk about, you know, being able to spend time with each other is really important. You know, even the word visitation really bothers some kids. I've worked in this business for over 30 years, and the kids that I have worked with who have gone through divorce or ugly breakups, one of the things that they'll say is, I don't know why they say I have to visit my dad. He's always been my dad. I shouldn't have to visit him. Yeah, I should be able to live with him. And they are insulted by the idea that, you know, this is your home and you're going to visit your dad, when really now they have two homes. They have two living parents and they have two homes, and they sometimes have two sets of rules at different homes. But that's another whole story. So, you know, one of the people that I love, more than many people I know is Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I have read all of well, I can't say all. I've probably read almost all of his books, and I got to be blessed to see him once live and shake his hand and talk to him about how much he means to me. But he wrote a book called What Do You Really Want for Your Children? And it's an awesome book about how to consciously, you know, raise your kids in a way that, you know, is more inclusive and open and teaching them to value themselves. The other book I want to highlight for you tonight is the book The Conscious Parent by Shefali Tzivari. She's a PhD, and the book is the Conscious Parent, but it's transforming ourselves, empowering our children. That is a really good book too, to talk about how to parent your children by first finding your old wounds that you've held on to, and now you're starting to recreate the same pattern as your childhood, perhaps, and you need to transform yourself so that your children can live it in an empowered way. So anyway, so back to Wayne Dyer. He talks about you must live by example, that our children usually won't do what we say. They usually do what we do. Isn't that scary? So we can make a difference in our children's lives by how we manage our stress, our relationships, and even our divorce. You try the following. So here are the following ideas that I want you to think about. So one is focus on their feelings. I know you're devastated. I know you didn't want the divorce, perhaps. And I know that your life has been turned upside down too. But you're an adult, and hopefully you've come across someone that was able to give you some coping skills and handle you through difficult times. So now you're talking about, you know, sometimes a very young child, you know, that has to transition from one home to the next home. And that can be extremely scary. You know, these children often don't even want to go sleep with a grandparent at their house. You know, they don't like to do transitions very well. And so we need to focus on their feelings. It is and should always be about the welfare of your children. Their feelings are fragile, and they need to know that you will listen to their feelings. You know, if children of divorce are less protected by their parents, and they're much less likely to go to their parents for comfort when they're young or for emotional support when they're older. So if you're listening to your children, that shows respect for their feelings, and this could very well change the outcome for them emotionally, just to be heard. You know, I'm all about, even on my, you know, business card, it says, you know, that I see you and I hear you and you're valued. You know, I value you. When your children understand that you feel the struggle and you can reflect their feelings, I know you're scared to go, you know, to a new house. You know, I also know that your daddy's there and he loves you. And, you know, the way you focus on their feelings can validate them and still give them hope. You know, the feeling part is the first place to start. And even if you can't make it better, you know, you just reflect their feelings. Don't give them empty promises. Oh, it's going to be all right. Well, I know, because I've worked in this business so long, that it's not always all right. You know, divorces happen because sometimes there is a really unaffectionate, possibly not well-meaning parent that these children are now court-ordered to spend time with. And that child may or may not want to do that, but yet there's a court order because it got really ugly and there couldn't be some sort of, you know, communication back and forth worked out. So when there are difficult times, there you have to find a way to reflect their feelings and assure them that if some, you know, that you still love them and you'll be here when they get back. But you can't promise them something that you can't really make come true. I worked with a family one time where the kids were really scared because the dad would get drunk and fall asleep, and they were little and they didn't know what to do. They just knew that daddy was sleeping and they couldn't wake him up, and it scared them. Well, the mom couldn't really do anything about that at the point that they were telling her about it, and she never knew if it was going to happen. And, you know, you can't just have somebody roll through and check things out, you know, and see if it's happening. So it's really, some of these are really sticky situations, but in the general terms, you know, assuring that child, if you know that their parent that they are going to go spend time with really is a good person. They really love this child too. And both of you would want your child to feel safe and loved, then reflect their feelings and then give them, you know, some good news about what's going to happen. Know ahead of time about maybe some things that they're going to be able to do there or fun that they can have. Remember that your children are not pawns. Avoid putting your children in the middle of the divorce or using them to get back at your ex. This happens so much. It just breaks my heart to watch these kids being pulled back and forth and being fed, you know, negative information about the other parent so that this other parent will get, you know, be loved more. It's just so immature and so hurtful to these kids. So you need to make sure that, you know, that they are not the person you're trying to pull apart. Your kids don't deserve that. The time your child spends with the other parent should never be taken away because of anger you have toward your ex. That's between you and the other parent. Your child should not be a part of that at all. They should not hear ugly words being shared about the other parent. You know, kids are smart and they're resilient. And if you give them time to come to the knowledge of their own about your personality and the other parent's personality, they'll have you nailed pretty soon. They'll know. They'll know who you are. But there is this window of, I need to still believe this parent is up on that shining white horse or up on that pedestal. You know, kids need to believe in a hero. And until that hero completely shatters their dreams of them, you need to stay out of it, because if you talk ugly about that other parent, sooner or later, those kids may not choose to even be around you. You know, they need to come to the decision as to whether or not they want to spend time with you and whether or not they want to spend time with the other parent. So don't pull them back and forth or say ugly things about the other parent in front of them. Your child's relationship and the love they have for both of you has to be protected. And they should never feel as if they have to choose between you or anybody else, because it's not their job to make you happy. It's not their job to validate you. That's your internal work that you need to do. So if you absolutely want your children to be happy over the holidays, then you have to allow them to have the feelings and the heart that they have for anybody. So if your ex got remarried and your feelings are hurt, maybe they stepped out, maybe they had an affair, that's not your kid's business. The other thing it's not their responsibility to dislike that person because you dislike them. If that person over at the other house is absolutely helping them with teeth brushing and homework and bedtime and movies or whatever, be thankful that there's another adult in that house to put loving eyes on your child. As a parent, the one thing I would hope would want more than anything else is for your child to always be around people who love and approve of them and keep them safe. And if that happens to be, you know, the stepdad or the stepmom, so be it. Let them, you know, love who they want to love and let them be with whoever they, you know, feel safe with. The other thing about that, and I'll just say, just as a sidebar, is that, you know, when kids are really little, I've had kids come into my office and call me mommy. Can't be further from the truth. But kids do that. They just assign labels to people who are doing the job. So if I'm in here alone with them and they'll need something, or they'll say, mommy, can I have, and they'll ask me for it. And I'll say, yes, you can. My name's Miss Midge, or, you know, and so I kind of reaffirm that. But if they're calling a step parent mom or dad, let it be. If you don't feel any more secure about your position in their life than you have to protect that name, mom or dad, come on. It's a heart thing. It's not a word thing. So let them be children and let them assign labels to people organically, not because you're forcing it on them. Remember that sharing Santa's gifts saves money. What does that mean? Talk about what's going on with the gifts with your ex. so that the gift list is not only going to save y'all money by avoiding duplicate purchases, it will also ensure that your child will get great gifts at both homes. This also proves to your child that they are important, that they can trust you to do what is right for them, and you can work together to make things happen. Learning that you may not agree with someone, but you can work together to make things happen is a powerful lesson for your kids. So, you know, there's a lot of things about this gift stuff, you know, and we definitely want to be careful about it. So, yeah, I've seen parents want to one-up the other parent. So, you know, they won't tell them the one thing the kid wants because they want to be the one to get them their most favorite thing. But what if, you know, that one thing that was really a big ticket item could be shared by both of you? This is from your mom and dad. We both got this for you. Oh, you live in two different homes, but both of you got together and got me this. And it may be that that gift will be, you know, stored in one place. It could be some equipment that's too big for one house. And so it will be at the parent's house that can assume that much space. Or it could be that it's needed for school and they may spend more time at one person's house during the school year. So it may be placed there and the other person, you know, both parents paid into it, but it may not stay at your house, but it's wherever the child needs it or wants it. So, you know, kind of find a way to collaborate. That's called working together so that your purchases, you know, are meaningful for your child. Be flexible with Christmas gifts. Children are often disappointed when they get a really cool gift for Christmas and then they're stopped at the door and the toy is ripped from their hands and they're told, "This stays at my house." This happens all the time. My kids that I work with are so upset about this because they'll get something like a shirt they always wanted and they only now get to see it on the weekends and they never get to wear it at school because it stays at the house where they never, you know, go to school from that house. So I was grown up to believe that if you were given a gift, once it was given, it's sort of like yours. Although sometimes parents, you know, buy the electronics so they can take it away as punishment, but that's another thing. But you know, if you're given something, then you should be able to take it where you want to take it. And, you know, unless it's a big entertainment system and you can't do it, but, you know, take it where you want to take it, do what you want with it, because now it's yours. So if you can give up the control of what you think is yours, because once that gift is given, your child should be able to decide whether to risk taking it to the other home. And I've seen that happen where nothing ever returns from the other home, and then the kid misses it because they forgot it, and it's never worked out to where they can get it back. But you know, it's appropriate to discuss whether or not they'll miss it if they forget it. It's appropriate to allow them to work that out. Well, let's call your dad. We'll do that together. Or let's call your mom and let's see if we can meet her somewhere. You know, we'll take her to lunch or we'll, you know, find out a way where you can still work together and get that worked back out for your kids. You know, there's just so many rules about this that happens with divorce and it's set in stone so much. Learn to lead with love. What's the most loving thing to do in this moment? That's my mantra. I live, but lead. Yeah, lead with love. You know, if it's not loving to rip a toy that they just got for Christmas out of their hands because now they need to go spend a week with the other parent, and that's not a bad thing that they have to do that, but it's required that they go, well, they just got their Christmas presents unwrapped and now they're leaving for a week. Well, you can play with it when you get back, but it's Christmas. Maybe they want it right now, you know, or, you know, I love shared holidays, which is almost impossible, but I did work with a family one time that pulled it off and they did really well about, you know, every holiday and every birthday, they would have joint parties or joint events so that the kids never had to leave one parent to go to another parent on a holiday or on their birthday. And the parents would then cooperate and do gifts together, do them separate. I mean, it was just a blend. These parents had it so well done. I was so impressed with them. That was back when I was in, as a school counselor, I worked in the school system, and they both showed up to bring the kid to school. It was just amazing. And it was just the most unique situation that I know is not common, but I know there can be variations of that. And if you lead with love, you can find a lot more creative ways to spend time with your kids and their entire family and all the blended families, and it can work. If you're the last thing I would say to you is be happy for their experiences. So if your child goes with one of their parents and they have this amazing, you know, thing that happened, maybe they went to some sort of amusement park or there was like the best present ever that they got at that house, or the food or whatever fun they had with their other parent. They're gonna quit telling you things if every time you open your mouth, sure, they have a lot of money. I don't have any money. And I don't know. No. If every time you complain about what you don't have and you put down what the other parent has, they're gonna stop telling you things. And you may be glad. Maybe you don't want to hear about anything good that happens over at that other house, but what you're also doing is shutting down your communication with your child. So be really careful about how you reflect back to them in your eyes and in your words and in your behavior, because the nonverbal communication at this point is going to be caught by the little antennae on your children. So if they tell you about something and you roll your eyes or you're not smiling or, you know, you're just really, really angry, they're going to pick up on that. So if you want your child to be open, have smiling eyes when they share things instead of using the guilt button and leaving your kid feeling like they wish they had never said anything. Be genuine. And, you know, you're going to be rewarded in the end. If you genuinely love your child and you genuinely want them happy, it really shouldn't matter where that happens. So if your child comes home from the other parent's house and they just had the drop, you know, dead best time, be happy, because that's your child and you want them to be happy. And if you don't, then you need to figure out why. You really do. You need to figure out why. You know, if you ask children what would make their Christmas special, you would be surprised at the wisdom that your kids may come up with. Most often, unless they've really been brought up to believe that things are more important than people, they always kind of go to the basics. I mean, they really want to be home and to be loved, and they want everybody to be together. So Christmas, it really shouldn't be a competition, and divorce does not have to destroy your lives or your children's lives. You and your ex really can make Christmas and all important events happy for your kids. Your child should never have to worry about inviting their other parent to a birthday or celebration, graduation, or their wedding. Could you imagine that if things got that ugly that they couldn't trust you two to be in the same space at the same time, who do you think really would get the invitation to the wedding? Maybe nobody. So you need to work out the logistics now, and your family, even in divorce, can be emotionally healthy. Make sure that you make the effort. And I've had parents say, well, I'll do it, but the other person won't. Well, then do it. You be the one. You sacrifice if you have to, because your job ultimately as the guardian of this child, the reason they came to earth, is to give them the best of the best start they can possibly have. And if that means that you may give up some of your precious time, and I know it's precious, you know, but if you lead with love, you know, especially for things like, let's say that there's a, you know, some sort of a travel ball event, you know, kids are into travel ball and there's always tournaments and stuff. And if it's on your weekend and you're supposed to have them and you hate sports, but if it's on your weekend, then you have to sacrifice that weekend for them to participate in their sport, because it's about your child. Okay. And if you need me time, then, you know, find your own way to be involved in something that you're passionate about. Or even if you're not passionate about sports, go support your child because they are. You know, I think we've kind of forgotten in this day and age that that parenting really is a sacrifice. It's not about, you know, they have to adjust to you. You know, once you have a child, you're really adjusting to them until they're grown. So, you know, yes, you need me time, and I'm the first to support that, but you have to do me time on your time. Not if it, you know, interferes necessarily with something that your child, you know, is passionate about and they're involved in. That should be both parents supporting that effort. So there's a lot of things that happen for kids, and developmental levels have you present information differently to kids, of course. So you don't tell a 2-year-old the same thing, explain it the same way you would tell an 18-year-old. And divorce is the same way. So depending on how old your child was when you guys divorced, you kind of you deal with it differently. So there's a really good book that I've used a lot in my practice called Helping Your Kids Cope with Divorce, The Sand Castles Way. And it was by Gary Newman, N-E-U-M-A-N. So if you want to give your children the best start during a very tense time for all of you, you know, make sure that you look into that book and take heed, because how you deal with your stress during this, how you cope with your children's feelings during this, and how you explain things and how you support them is going to not only help them through this life event, but it's also going to either alienate you from your kids or it's going to bring you closer. So I really hope that you can find a way to give your children a holiday that really counts, and give them examples that they can follow, not just today, but for their lifetime. And you can do that by just choosing to lead with love. You know, Christmas isn't just about gifts, and it's just not about, you know, well, it's not about, you know, it's about a lot of things, and it depends on your faith, you know, whether this is when you celebrate Jesus's birth or when you don't. But during this time, there's a lot that children get excited about and a lot that they love. And it is difficult to have to transition for any child back and forth between their homes. But it's also very difficult during their birthdays or during a celebration like Christmas, and especially if they feel guilty about loving another parent, or if they feel guilty about telling you all the great stuff that they did at this other home who may have more money. But please, please lead with love and put the feelings of your children at the top of your Christmas list. I hope that you continue to have a wonderful holiday season as we come through Thanksgiving and going into the Christmas holiday. And I hope that you do find peace for yourself. If you're struggling to find yourself, if you're struggling to figure out, you know, your own wounds and how it's affecting your kids, I would love for you to reach out to me and connect with me either on Facebook. You can find me, Midge Noble, on Facebook. You can email me at secondchances@embark, that's E-M-B-A-R-Q, mail@mail.com. And in the header, if you do that, make sure that in the subject line, you let me know that it's not some kind of scam that, you know, or spam, and just put something like Awakened Hearts Podcast Listener. And then you can communicate with me and let me know. If you download the Anchor mobile app, then we'll be able to share messages, you know, here at the radio station. Okay? So I really hope that your holiday continues to go well. But it is difficult, and there's a lot of feelings that come up with holidays in these movies, and especially if your holiday was not good times back when you were little, it's hard for you not to have those wounds resurface and really create some problems for you. So even though I spent most of this podcast today talking about your children and how to make it best for them, you also need to focus on making sure that you're getting your needs met by looking into those wounds and seeing if you can transform them. So if you'd like to get some coaching from me and let me help you get through these rough times and get to the other side, not only is it going to empower you and you're going to have the most amazing life after, but so will your children. So please connect with me if you'd like to talk more about getting some coaching from me, and I would love to hear from you. So until then, thank you so much, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate you listening. Keep sending your messages and letting me know how you feel about the topics, and request a topic of your own if you would like to have something spoken about. Okay, you guys have a good night. Namaste. Deep gratitude to my friend Tim McClendon of Tim McClendon Music for allowing me to use an excerpt from Interlude 4, a song found on his CD entitled Sundance.